Welcome back. It has been a minute. We are here for another episode of Talkin' Sports in the Coop. Me, your host, Ryan Black, sitting in the co-host seat with me today, Rip Rex. Rip, how are you doing? It's good to be back.
It's always good. There's lots of things going on. The sports world's kind of revitalizing and finding its place again in the news world. And you've got so much that you want to talk about. You've been jacked up about so many different things, but I think the biggest one has been your home team, the Blazers.
Yes. Last time we left you guys, we were waiting for the City Council to vote and approve the final round of funding needed for the Moda Center project to move forward. And that vote took place yesterday and passed by a nice margin of 8-4, 8 in favor, 4 against. Even if the vote would have been split, the mayor had the deciding vote and the mayor would have pushed it through. So even though there was a lot of talk that the vote might not happen, it was always going to happen, most likely at the end of the day, because the votes were almost guaranteed to be secured, because at worst it would have been a 6-6 split with the decisive vote coming from the mayor. They did change things on the agreement sheet last minute that kind of helped a couple of other people lean more towards a yes vote. By no means does this mean it is done, dusted, they're for sure staying, but what this does is it firmly puts the ball in the Blazers court, because the NBA has been in their ear and they don't want this to go away. When you have this much money funding guaranteed, locked down by the city and the state, the NBA doesn't want that to go away, because it will be exponentially harder if a deal doesn't get done before December for them to come back to the table and agree another funding package without it having to go to a public vote.
Yeah, and it's a constant struggle for any sports for any sports league to get a city to flip the bill for stadiums and things like that. So of course they don't want to lose something like that.
Right. So the funding package finally being approved is great. And it hopefully gets done, because then we don't want to go, because if it gets to the point where we have to go to a public vote, that's where it could turn vastly different if we don't finish this agreement in December. That's why I think coming out of the gates and winning at the start of the season is so exponentially important for this team to continue the good vibes and the good feels behind everything to just push forward that deal. And I think the pressure will mount. I know that, you know, the upper management has let things leak of how, you know, it's hard to get a deal done. The Portland economy makes it hard for the Blazers to make money. Well, the Blazers were never operated in a sense to make money, because Paul Allen never needed to make money on the team because he had so much. So the Blazers, for a lot of their time,
it was more of a passion project for
them. It was, and they were run and they lost money. It was not necessarily a money-making thing for Paul, but it was a passion thing for him. And so at the end of the day, Thomas coming in, and that's why there's been so many changes widespread across the organization. So I'm happy that we've got the first piece down, but now it really turns everything over to Tom Dundon and his team and his executive group, because they've said they don't want these negotiations to be through the public. So I am no longer sitting there taking people from the Oregonian and national media, what they're saying, with any grain of salt, because they don't want to negotiate this through those channels. So I think a lot of the information you're hearing coming from those channels are coming from a more fear-mongering point of view, trying to get everybody afraid of something, when now it is simply about lawyers sitting down and finalizing a deal. You know, they're going to have to pay some rent. Portland's getting money. They're going to have to give some back. But right now they would almost have to give back as much as the city would be giving them in funding over the next couple years over a payment structure. And the city council, when they met on Wednesday, even said The terms in this agreement right now are going to change. We know they're going to change. We know the way that the deal is written up now isn't going to pass. But guess what? That's part of a negotiation. You never come to the table with your best offer at the start because it doesn't give you any wiggle room to see how much you could get the price down or where it could end up,
right,
where both parties are happy with it. And so that's where the media, I think, is really trying to push an agenda that's not there. Let's also talk about the fact that there isn't a natural other market for Portland to move to. So there's no natural place for this team to get uprooted and move to.
I think the closest thing you could think of is maybe moving them up to Vancouver.
Right, yeah.
And giving
that another try because of how basketball popularity has spread in Canada since they had Vancouver there before. We were talking about that earlier, but there's no real viable market for it. And then let's put on the fact that the relocation fee is more money than Tom Dundon has to spend. Yes, he bought the team as the majority owner, but the only reason he was able to fund the full purchase is because he had other people in the ownership group coming in and paying a larger percent, even though he's the front man.
And that's almost always how these things work. Like, it's very rare that you have a sole owner of a team.
100%. It's normally a consortium. So there's a lot of different aspects here, but like I said earlier, what this does is it puts the ball in the Blazers' court again for them to come back with a deal that works for both sides. And I think it'll happen. And I especially think that it will happen because the NBA will start to put pressure on the Blazers because, again, it doesn't look good when there's this much funding on the table and you can't get a deal done when all the money is already agreed to. It's all about payment structure, essentially. That's what we're arguing about right now is payment structure and then getting the lease signed. As soon as the lease is signed, the money's secured. They're already one of the interviews I was watching from 105.1, the sports station over in Portland, was talking about how they're already bringing big architects in to look at the project and start building and planning things. So we've already moved on to that stage of things where they're looking at the future of what this project will be. So when I see that, I think that's almost a better sign than the vote passing because that means the city and the team are both talking to each other about who they want to bring in to design the stadium. It's one of the people that worked on the Sphere in Vegas. So it's a big name, you know, architect person in the world. I don't know. I didn't pay that much attention to the guy's name. So those are the positive signs that we're seeing that make me not afraid that the Blazers are going to leave. I think I fed into to it a little bit. I was never afraid they were going to leave, but I started to get scared.
Yeah.
Because I love this team and I don't want them to go anywhere.
Yeah, and with that now, you've got the stadium essentially in set and you have a lease and you guys are keeping the team. So what does this mean for the Blazers basketball-wise?
Well, we still have to get the deal done. The funding expires at the end of the year. We have till the end of the year to get a deal done. Everybody expects the deal to get done by the end of November, early December.
Let's just say that gets done. This new owner and everything that comes forward with it, and even having the appeal of a new stadium and all this other stuff, what does that mean basketball wise for the Blazers? To you, at least.
I think it opens the door, especially with the roster we have, how competitive of a team we're going to put on the floor this year and how exciting of a team that we're going to put on the floor this year. That's why I say winning out of the gate will make such a difference. The fact that we have and own our, we traded for Ja, we didn't do anything super crazy. So we have all the draft capital still sitting there waiting for us to use if we need to make a big move later on in the year or next summer, or if we just realize that we have and can roll with what we have and start using that draft capital and actually bringing in a younger core with some of the aging guys that we have. you know, I still don't like how guard heavy the roster has become. But I think we're in a league, and we've talked about this a couple of times before, where unless you're playing center, positioning in the NBA doesn't really matter.
As much, at least, yeah.
LeBron played a four last year. This year he's going to play point guard for the 76ers. So,
whatever puts him on the court.
Right, exactly, yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, I think we're in a more fluid era of basketball where your traditional positions don't matter. So that kind of makes me excited in a way to see what the Blazers are going to do with so many guards in this guard rotation, which will become one of the better rotations because of who they have coming off the bench. One of the Blazers' strengths is I think they can put a far better second unit out than a lot of teams can. And so it'll be interesting to see kind of how they come out in their rotation, what that rotation will look like, and then how those pieces will move. What kind of system is Mike and Nori going to run? Because we also have a brand new head coach coming in this process too. So, you know, it's cool to see. The only thing that normally that you would normally expect with a new owner is a new general manager. And I think
are we going to see a new general manager?
Probably not. I think Cronin's done a good enough job to keep his job. I think there's two groups of Blazer fans who are very split on Joe Cronin. And I think he makes a lot of really good trades, but I think sometimes when he makes free agent signings, it sometimes can leave you scratching at your head.
And hasn't drafted super well recently.
They've
been players that have turned out, but they're not players that are still on the team.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that.
Ant's got a different home. Until this year, Damian didn't stay. You know, Damian's back, which is great.
Joe didn't draft Damian, though.
Okay. Yeah. But, like there's been so many times where I've thought of drafting-wise that where they were stars and they were studs, but they didn't quite, even though they were good players, they didn't quite fit the Portland mold. Ant is a great example of, like, great player, but, like, he's not producing for Portland. He's not playing well in Portland's style. He's not playing, like, and that seems that seemed to happen pretty often after that, I felt as though. But, you know, I also want to see, when I ask about the basketball stuff, I want to see how hands-on he is. Like, if he does have to eventually find a new general manager, how much effort he himself is going to put into helping find that general manager, or if it's going to be like a delegated group that goes and finds that person, you know. And he just won a championship with his hockey team,
right?
So that's why I want to see what those moves, if he starts doing those same types of things. I also don't know how much of an impact he actually had on the hockey side of that team, other than just owning the team and stuff like that. I don't know how much of a hand he had.
It was more of a business. It was more of what he did coming in and again, making a team that was constantly always being talked about as a team that might have to move or be relocated. Forgotten there was even a team there, and come in and stabilized a ship that had been going downhill since the early 2010s. So I think that the stability is what is, and the business side is what, I don't like the word, but is attractive about Tom Dundon in a sense for what he could do for this organization. But I mean, with recent events happening, which we'll touch on more in the next segment, you know, if he's not, I would rather him just stay here for a year or two and flip the team to somebody that actually wants to have impact in the city of Portland.
There's a lot that goes into that.
A lot of owners, like a lot of owners in the NBA right now, don't like what Tom is doing and are very, you know, against the approach that he's taking. Which makes sense, because it would, if this blueprint works, it will change completely how the league is run in a landscape-wise setting.
Well, it would require a lot of these owners to have to do the same thing. You know, the upsetting fans by increasing prices or cutting different things, going through and trimming the fat, as they would say. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of teams that avoid doing that because they love and embrace their fans, and like the fans are the most important part of their organization in some of these places. And that would put them at kind of like a crossroads. Yeah, you'd have to upset the fans to make money.
Yeah, no.
And that's the last thing anybody wants to
exactly.
do.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just happy that the vote passed and that we can move on to the next phase of this and hopefully not hear about it every other day like there's some startling new, you know, thing popping up. I really hope that they can keep it behind closed doors like the Blazers want these negotiations to go, and the next time we hear about this is them close to signing the new lease agreement, and then funding kicks in, and we're good to go.
I think that the next part is don't mess up the stadium. Do like you guys got it. You guys got the money for it. Let's see something nice. Let's see something invest like you paid attention to, you know,
exactly.
And people are going to enjoy being in, and that you can find multiple places to get food, and there's options instead of like,
well, and if you're,
do you want a hot dog on this side of the stadium, or do you want a hot dog on that side of the stadium?
And making sure you're delivering on the promises that you are putting forth in the pitch deck. You know, the Bills just unveiled their new stadium, Highmark Stadium, and it's been getting heavily criticized by all the fans, because one of the things they specifically asked for was no obstructed views in that stadium, and it was put in the description, you know, or the pitch deck when they were bringing fans in to, you know, buy season tickets, that there wouldn't be any obstructed views. The whole upper bowl of the stadium, there is 90% of the views in the upper bowl are all obstructed. And fans are absolutely livid. And then the scoreboard size they use, you know, we've seen modern stadiums use these giant, big, impressive-looking scoreboards. It's a tiny little scoreboard. It looks like a scoreboard that would have been revolutionary in, like, 2010 kind of a thing.
I think they went, I think they sacrificed on the scoreboard to try to increase the view. You know, because there's several instances where the big Jumbotron in the middle of the stadium blocks a lot of those higher up people.
Yeah, well,
I think they were trying to find a way around that, and they just
did
didn't.
A terrible job.
Yeah, and they just didn't find the right one.
They did a terrible job on that.
I think that's my only justification on that part. But
yeah, well, we've got so much more to talk about. A loaded show for you guys. This has just been the first segment. And I get in the look from my producer. He's giving me the evil eye. We got to go pay the bills, send it over to commercial on 99.1 KXRW. Talking sports in the coop.
Where it began, I can't begin to knowing. But then I know it's growing strong.
For over 20 years, Vancouver Family Magazine has been covering local news, recreation, travel, education, parenting, personalities, and more. We connect your family to people, places, ideas, organizations, helpful resources, and local stories. Pick up your copy every month at over 300 locations all around Clark County, or read online at VancouverFamilyMagazine.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X for even more local news and family fun at Vancouver Family.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years, licensed in Washington State. Our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Again, that's buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates. We speak your language.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
All right, welcome back to Talking Sports in the Couve. We are here, and the sports world is starting to pick up. Football is almost back. Preseason football kicked off its first slate of games today. I know me and you are very excited to have football back. I still get excited for preseason games, especially because of a new coach coming in for Pittsburgh and that whole thing. So, you know, people tend to mock me for being this excited to sit down and watch a preseason game, but
you are very into. It's funny because he's both very into it, but very just embarrassed enough to, like, when I come in, he's like, oh, you would think that I walked in on him looking at something he's not supposed to, but instead he's watching a preseason game between the Titans and the Jaguars or something.
Or something, you know? Random. Yeah.
It's like a team nobody's watching in the first place, and he's watching. And he's like, no, I was just flipping channels. I just didn't mean to be on.
Well, I'm such a sports fiend that I get geeked up for you know, the most random things. The other day I was because we reached this lull right before preseason starts in the Little League World Series, but I was watching professional wiffle ball on ESPN and was getting hyped up, and I was like, I could probably do that. Like, I could probably play professional wiffle ball. Like, they're like 3-inning games. I was like, I could probably do that. I could probably hit it once or twice.
We're going to hold you to it. We're going to, like, simulate a game and see if you can survive it.
Probably not well, but I could. I think I could do it. But no, like, I love finding those, like, random sports. And, like, there was, I was watching ESPN Ocho the other weekend, and they had rooftop football. So it was literally a competition of, like, drunk dads, like, throwing the football on the roof and trying to, like, hit specific targets and stuff. So when preseason football comes back, I really get excited because I can, you know, get back to some normalization in sports.
So when I do that, I have to go away for a couple of months. I have to go to jail. But when they do it, it's a sport and it gets put on ESPN.
It's a league.
It's a whole league. I'm not allowed to get drunk and throw footballs at houses. Unless I've got a contract to do it, apparently. It's America these days. I'm just kidding.
Caleb facing down a
can't get away
public
with
disturbance charge for throwing footballs at a house.
I can't get away with anything anymore.
Do you have any, like, off the wall, like, sports or competitions or stuff that, like, you get hyped up for?
Not as much as I used to, because, like, I don't, like I'm not flipping channels trying to stay, like, trying to stay entertained I did back in the day. And we would flip by ESPN, like, during the summer, because, like, normally I'd be in school or something. So those hours that I'd normally be in school would always be the times I'd find those things I had never seen before.
Okay, that's fair.
Like the sports talk shows or random, really random wild sports.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think about it. Like, I got, like, I think the only time I can consistently say I do that is, like, when, like, the Winter Olympics or the
Summer Olympics are happening.
Around.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'll get pretty into curling.
Yeah.
Or I'll watch a lot of bobsled. I'll watch a lot of bobsled.
Yeah, bobsled because of
snowboarding.
Because of Cool Runnings, one of my favorite sports movies. But I asked that because we're in the midst of one of my favorite competitions every year in the Little League World Series. And the reason I love it is because it is still to this day the most pure sporting event, because kids are just out there playing ball and having fun.
More pure than the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
Yeah. I mean,
so pure.
It is, but it's so dominated. Joey Chestnut's just, you know, he's going to win. He just shows up and it's like he doesn't even have to try.
Yeah.
And he eats like 65 hot dogs. Also, it's like I've watched it a couple times. And after, like, the second or third time, you're like, Yeah, okay, this is disgusting. I know Joey's going to win. I don't need to sit there and watch this happen. But did you hear about the Oklahoma team that got thrown out of the Little League World Series?
I did not.
Well, they had a player that was far too old to be playing on the team. It was grandfathered in because he was the brother of somebody who was playing on a disabled team that he shouldn't have even been playing on.
Oh,
this happened to an Oklahoma team, and the parents have like refused to take any responsibility. And it's like a giant controversy, and giant controversies don't normally happen. But even the Little League World Series this year isn't the pure game that we all used to love and remember because parents are trying to rig the system.
Part of me was really scared that you were gonna come out and be like, one of the kids got caught doing steroids. we're in the steroid era of Little League baseball now. It's just disgusting. Tired of seeing it. I can't believe they're letting it happen. I was waiting for that.
13-year-olds are juicing up. He's ruining
the game.
We're going back to the 80s. They're taking greenies, man. Come on.
Yeah, God, that'd be awesome. That'd be so. They're gambling.
Illegal gambling and
steroids are just running rampant through the.
It's on cow sheet. I guarantee it, man. The Little League World Series has got to be out baseball. There. Could you imagine being the degenerate gambler? That you're sitting there gambling on Little League World Series.
I did it one
games.
Time, dude. Quit bringing it up. That's how I bought lunch that day. Like you benefited from that.
Oh my goodness.
Oh no, I can't stand Kalshi.
No, I can't either. I hate the commercials. I despise it. But
I can go safely and say, like, outside of playing fantasy football, it's probably the closest I get to betting on any sports, even since it's become legal.
Well, because we can't do it in Washington. So when I was down at the beach for the Super Bowl in Oregon at Seaside, I downloaded FanDuel because they were doing a promotion where you got, you know, sign up and you get, you know,
a free,
$20 in credit. free play or something or whatever. So I did that and I made a couple of stupid bets and I didn't win anything during the Super Bowl. But I also didn't. I was betting with house money, so I wasn't betting with my own money. So so I did that, and I immediately deleted the app, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I don't want to lose money.
Yeah. You know, nobody wants to lose money.
No.
Instead of just, like, letting all that money go to waste on, you know, betting on sports and things like that, you invest in the very lucrative, very money making card collecting business. So it's like, you know,
dude, it's
totally fine.
Don't joke about it.
He's not wasting money at all.
Card collecting is booming. It is at an all time high.
Yes, but your collecting, how many of yours could you turn for a profit, do you think?
I could probably turn 50% of my collection for a profit.
Okay, a profit. This isn't fair because like you're constantly telling me stories of like how you're finding cards for like $2 to $3, $4. Mm-hmm. So of course you're turning a profit, but I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. But like I do think it is. I do have to like comment and make a joke about it if you're super into collecting cards, but you're like anti gambling.
Well, but I'm more of a collector. I'm not out there. All the time, but there's been a couple times where I've seen a really good deal and bought a card and then flipped it. But a lot of the times when I'm buying cards, there's an attachment to that card. So yeah, I could sell it for a profit at what I bought it for, but I want it in my collection.
Yeah, 100%. So, 100%. And you got the ones you love and stuff. It's
hard when the players that you have invested in like a lot start sucking like Paul Skeens has done this year. Won 3 of his last 16 starts with the Pirates. Lost 13 rough. In a row.
I don't want to talk about the Mets right now.
Yeah, it sucks.
It's rough.
Yeah.
Baseball is a hard mistress.
Yeah, it sucks. Baseball
rule
is
mistress.
Let's change the subject.
But speaking of selling for profit, something big happened today. And it didn't involve Ryan selling something for profit. No. The Los Angeles Lakers were purchased today, this
today,
morning.
2 years after they were sold.
Yes, 2 years after they were sold. After fresh off of the the Jeannie Buss family controversy that they that happened and all that drama
for years, and then that
sold them to the
out.
Dodgers, and then the Dodgers owner that bought the Lakers got in a lot of trouble now too.
A lot of
has to unload the Lakers for some extra money because he's gonna have to pay some people.
Or he just sold it to the right
fines.
Or he just sold it to the right person, and now it's gonna get looked away.
He still has to find that money somewhere because he's gonna lose and he's gonna have to pay for people. He's going to have to pay people. You know what I mean? And even if he wins, he has to pay people. Like, he's got to pay those lawyers if he wins.
I think that money's going somewhere. Magically gonna but disappear.
He sold it to the Trump family, so now it's gonna magically disappear.
This
is not. I think if I let Ryan go down the rabbit hole he wants to go down, this show will start turning into a conspiracy theory podcast. And that's not me defending anybody. That's me purely saying we can't talk about things without any proof. But they did. One thing that we can talk about with proof is the fact that they were sold for $2 billion?
$12 billion.
$12 billion.
Purchased for $10 billion. Sold for $12 billion.
Turned a profit in 2 years. Now, beyond all the other extra sketchy stuff, we talked about this earlier in the day when this first happened and stuff, and I made a post on my social media about it too. The part that bothers me and scares me and worries me is how easily it was for him to do this, even with getting in trouble, even with being in trouble. Like, it was very easy for this guy to buy a team, hold it just long enough to turn a profit, and then sell it very easily. Without any rumors or anything, it stayed completely under the radar.
This just happened. I mean, a $12 billion sale for the Lakers just materialized over the weekend after a phone call.
And what I'm worried
about. So there's been no, like, any input from the league, the vetting process that they normally have to go down. Miraculously, all of a sudden, because he sold to the Trump family, didn't have to go down all the pathways.
This is how we're gonna go. He sold. So yes, he did. Technically, to one of the people that bought it was the brother of his son-in-law. But he's not the majority owner. Bob Iger is the majority owner, and Bob Iger is notably the guy that kind of ran Disney two different times. He also notably someone who catches a lot of flack from the Trump organization. So it's but that's neither here nor there. It's owned by Bob Iger and Jacob Kushner. Jacob Kushner is the brother-in-law of the son. It's so convoluted. I have to like sit here and process it. Be like. He is the brother of the son-in-law. That's what it is. So now we're borderlining on soap opera, like the mother of his son's brother is also his cousin.
We're a sports show.
Still a sports show.
I agree. We're still a sports show, but you can't. Here we go. Ryan's rants.
We got 4 minutes left. Go ahead and get us canceled.
I mean. You want to go on this route?
Take your route.
I don't need to go on the route.
Go on your rant. Get it out of your system. It's going to keep coming back.
It's just you can't ignore what is happening, and it can't be, you know, explained away.
You also can't ignore when people find those Bigfoot tracks. You know, you just can't ignore those things, right?
I mean, I think this would be a little bit more wild if Kushner didn't just try to stick his little pots and get the Trump family in the with FIFA and buying the World Cup and privatizing the World Cup. All nations are, and Infantino's going to lose his position as FIFA commissioner because of it, because it was a terrible idea that every nation came out and said, we're not going to compete in a FIFA-branded event because you're trying to privatize the game that has no right or reason to be privatized. Oh, and also you're selling it to the Trump family. It was literally part of the issue.
And you can see he's still mad about that. It's okay.
Yes, because you can't take the great game of football, the most universal game of soccer.
Football is a great game. That's why they call it. That's why soccer tries to call themselves football. I love football. Football is a great game.
I know you do. I do too. I love both variations.
Soccer wishes it was football. Soccer gets to be football every 4 years.
It is a far, far, far bigger globally. And it's starting to
catch
on.
It only matters every 4 years.
Doesn't only matter every 4 years. There's a legit, like, especially in this area with the legitimacy that soccer has and plays such an important role in, and
the internet's already forgot about it.
That's why the Portland Thorns are the most attended female sports organization on the planet.
Okay. It's comparable to what?
To every women's sports professional sports organization. They have more fans than anyone.
I'm not going to comment
Portland
on this.
Portland is Soccer City, USA.
I'm not going to make
Portland
the
joke. Portland is Soccer City, USA. Always has been, always will be.
Oh, yes. You know
that's
what?
That's why we'll be talking Portland Timbers soccer in the third segment, and Caleb will be falling asleep.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. But I do want to say, like, when you are the smartest person in the smallest class size in the smallest city.
We're really gonna sit here and rag on women's sports.
I'm talking about
me getting
people
us
don't
canceled.
Attend these things. That's what I
people talk
don't
about.
Attend
me.
It.
I you can sit there and look at how the Portland Fire have sold out all the games.
This is why I'm bringing it
and
up,
the Thorns selling out and being
it.
The largest.
Me and John are looking at each other laughing.
Organization, and you can't say that it's not important. And not attended, especially
saying,
in this area.
It's easy to pull stats when they're like that's an easy stat to be like biggest women's sport attended. You're right.
No, they're the biggest women's sports team attended.
Yes, yeah. When you're 100 out of 100 fans
again,
compared to 99 fans, you're right.
Again, Caleb says I'm gonna get canceled. He's the one over here trying to get us canceled by ragging on women's sports.
I'm getting you riled up because it's entertaining. That's what exactly
he's rage baiting me over here. That is like the story of our friendship,
it's incredibly...
in a nutshell. Caleb just rage baiting me every day, all day.
You can wrap this segment up. you have my permission now.
Yeah. All right. Well, putting everything Caleb said aside, we're going to come back in the third hour and wrap things up. We'll see where it takes us. Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason here on Talkin' Sports in the Coov.
For over 20 years, Vancouver Family Magazine has been covering local news, recreation, travel, education, parenting, personalities, and more. We connect your family to people, places, ideas, organizations, helpful resources, and local stories. Pick up your copy every month at over 300 locations all around Clark County, or read online at vancouverfamilymagazine.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X for even more local news and family fun at Vancouver Family.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years, licensed in Washington State. Our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Again, that's buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates. We speak your language.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
The Columbian in Southwest Washington continues to offer the most comprehensive and consistent coverage of our region and our people, despite the challenges faced by local newspapers nationwide. Valued donations to our community-funded journalism project via the Local Media Foundation pays for local reporters to provide expanded and in-depth coverage of key local issues in print and online, including homelessness, transportation, and the environment. For the most thorough daily coverage, visit Columbian.com. Please consider donating or subscribing today.
Welcome back to Talking Sports in the Couve. Sorry for kind of getting derailed there in that last segment. I went on a little bit of a tangent, and then Caleb decided he would follow it up with one, and now the train is off the tracks here at Talking Sports in the Couve. This is a first for us as we try to steer things back for the last segment and the last little bit. Anything in the sports world you want to talk about, Caleb?
You're going to give me the platform now?
I mean,
it's ballsy of you.
I was thinking we were going to steer in the right direction.
You wanted me to pick something.
An olive branch.
He wanted me to go redemption. You know what? I think we can go pretty simple here. And football started today.
It did.
Preseason already started technically, but today was like the real first day of like multiple games going on and things like that. Got to see a lot of young guys get some reps. Some older guys decided to play, which was cool. You don't always see that. Burrow got a few reps in.
Jordan Love started the game.
Yeah. You don't always see that, especially from the quarterback.
Yeah.
Which I understand to a point, because you have so many classic stories of a quarterback not even getting to play the season because they got hurt in the preseason or something, and you're trying to protect your investment. But we always get so excited when games start. It doesn't matter what they, what intensity or level they are. You got to see two of your young guys get to play quarterback for the Steelers today we started the show.
I was super excited for everything that's happening. You know, all the newness I've talked about, the new coach, new attitude, and Steelers football. Getting to see the young guys, two new quarterbacks. Both performed really, really well. Aller actually had a really big game, 10 of 13, over 100 yards passing, 3 total touchdowns for him, 1 on the ground, 2 in the air. So trying to figure out if that next guy is on the roster, with McCarthy being the quarterback whisperer he is. You know, we were talking on the ride over about, you know, do I want to see Rodgers play in the preseason? Not necessarily, maybe for a series or two, but honestly, I'm just excited to see what these young guys have and to get a sense of, you know, are we going to be able to just develop from within, or do we have to go look at the loaded draft class next year and find that next quarterback, or is that next quarterback on this roster? So that's what's most intriguing for me this preseason as a Steelers fan.
But we also got the announcement a little while ago that Kirk Cousins is going to be starting the season, or at least planning to be so far, for the Raiders over
That doesn't surprise me. Fernando Mendoza. Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, when you bring a quarterback like that in, you know, and with the way Mendoza is he's the kind of guy that wants to learn and not be thrown into the fire. And I mean, I sent you a post the other day of, you know, look at how bad the quarterback development problem
has become
in the NFL.
That brings me to my point that it's just like, it's so rare that you have that you draft a kid number one and you don't play him right away, or even be a team that didn't have a suitable veteran bridge quarterback on the roster at the time, but then draft this game-changing kid and then go and get one of those guys. Like, you don't, especially from the Raiders, you don't see people making these moves and doing these things. That's why I feel it's interesting.
I like it because it's a nod to what we used to, you know, have growing up, where this league was more about developing the quarterbacks. And, you know, it wasn't always, oh, we're drafting a guy, he's going to immediately come in and start. You know, they're working on that old school style of let's let this guy sit. You know, it's probably not going to be the whole year. I imagine that we'll see Mendoza take meaningful snaps for the Raiders at some point in this year, whether it be because of injury or poor performance from Cousins, because when we've seen him play over the last couple of years, he hasn't been the greatest quarterback and hasn't been the same quarterback in Atlanta that he was in Minnesota. But he's also had a lot of ups and downs throughout his career. So, you know, you never know. He could come out guns a-blazing, and, you know, it could end up being his team for this year, and then next year Mendoza is the guy. So I think the Raiders situation is a fascinating one, just to see how that true development of a quarterback comes, especially with the lack of big name quarterbacks in this draft class. You're seeing it. You'll be seeing it too with the guy the Rams drafted.
Ty Simpson.
Yeah, Ty Simpson out of Alabama. You know, they've got Stafford, so there's no immediacy for him being thrown into that starting job.
But he was also a guy that was labeled as if you draft this quarterback, yeah, you can't start him right away.
Right.
And
I think that was the fear with Mendoza, because he had one really good year, but the rest of his college career wasn't the best. But he had
a really good year in a really good year of college football. No. Playing really good teams, too.
I agree. He got hot at the right time, but I don't think he would flourish in the NFL if he was thrown right into a starting job. I think he's the kind of guy that it suits for, let his feet get under him, you know, maybe after their bye week. I don't know where their bye falls this year, but, you know, maybe after the, you know, fifth or sixth game or something, you know, if they're not doing well, then you start to see him take some snaps and get some reps. That's why I say I think it won't be like that traditional system, but it could end up, if Cousins comes in and lights the world on fire, then, you know, he could be on the bench. So it's just, like I said, I just like to see that development aspect. I touched on what I'm excited for with my team in the preseason. Is there anything you're looking for as a Giants fan out of your team in this preseason that you'll be paying close attention to?
I'd like to see a level of consistency out of the offense, especially with everybody so bought into Jackson Dart and Cam Scatabue. Mm-hmm. I like both players. I am behind both players. I'm a fan of both players. I still feel like the hype is unearned. I feel like a lot of it was because they got popular on social media, at least in the Scatabue sense.
I was just
Jackson Dart played really well, and he put out some really good games and things like that.
Dart's going to be a really good player in this league.
I still feel as though Cam Scatabue got handed the starting job because he was popular and he was viral.
Well,
he had few good runs.
He played well for a couple weeks, but then got hurt. So,
right.
So I think it's definitely a bigger question mark for him.
Right. And,
you know,
and
we were talking about cards earlier. Both those guys' cards markets are through the freaking roof right now.
Right. And they're incredibly popular players. Yeah. They're loved by all these young people. Mm-hmm. All these young people just adore these two now.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, whether they like football or not. And it worries me. I'm worried that we get lost in that and we forget about needing to play football.
Yeah, I can see that.
And especially in a city like New York, I also think that the Knicks winning a championship hurts the Giants.
Yeah,
because now they've got
pressure.
Yes, now they've got a chance. Now they've seen what the city's like with a championship. Mm-hmm. Now they want their other teams to do that too.
Yeah.
The team, maybe other than the Mets, that they thought would have the least chance of winning a championship, did it.
Yeah.
So now you guys need to figure it out. Mm-hmm. You've got these characters and these players that we love, make like do football.
Yes.
You know, they're just sitting there like, make it work.
Yeah.
And it's just, it makes me nervous. It makes me worried. I think that our division is both over and underrated, because I think there's a lot of credit being given to Washington for some reason. I don't understand it. I think the Cowboys are going to be sneaky good. I think the Cowboys aren't quite getting enough attention, at least not as much as they used to in the past. And maybe that's because people are kind of sour on them. The Eagles are the Eagles. I mean, they're like, and I do feel good watching them kind of semi implode and have people kind of pick apart Jalen Hurts like they have.
I've never been sold on Jalen Hurts.
What's getting me, and I feel bad for Jalen, but it's validating everything I've ever said about the city.
Mm-hmm.
The city just doesn't, those fans don't care about you.
No.
They don't.
Philadelphia fans love to hate.
Even if you're good, they don't give you the love you deserve. Mm-hmm. They don't. They're whatever about you unless you're winning them a championship or something. Like the city of Philadelphia will never, in my opinion, give Donovan McNabb or Terrell Owens enough credit.
I completely agree.
ever. Those guys should be royalty there.
That's a fan base that turned their head to Andy Reid. And look what Andy Reid's gone out and
let
had
him go.
Had probably the best second act of any head coach ever, going to KC and just dominating.
Yeah, and this kid turned your organization around and won you two championships pretty closely together,
mm-hmm.
And have made you guys a serious team and made you guys a team that free agents actually want to go to.
Right.
You signed the best running back in the league at one point,
right,
because of the success you guys were having. And now that quarterback he shouldn't be on your team anymore.
Right.
You're finding reasons why he shouldn't be the guy anymore.
Right.
You want to go back through the quarterback search? Like, that's what you'd rather do than enjoy the success you guys are having? It's crazy to me. It's absolutely crazy to me. They love to cause themselves pain.
Yeah, they definitely.
Philadelphia fans love to be in pain.
They definitely do. Well, I'm very excited that preseason football is back. I'll be even more excited when we get the real thing going and college football is coming at the end of the month before the start of the NFL season. And I can't wait for college football. I can't wait to bring my second TV out and run multiple games and just geek out on football this year.
Now, college football is something I'm getting a little more excited before, because John Mateer has been in the media quite a bit, getting some love. Yeah.
That's
you haven't
good.
Seen any of the it started with when the camps all started and stuff like mm-hmm. that. He was out there throwing and stuff, and he came in shredded, totally a different looking guy. Just
that for you guys. I think Oklahoma deserves to kind of have a resurgence.
Right, and he was a guy that was in the Heisman conversation for a good part
of
the season. For a good part of the season
before he got hurt.
Yeah, and for him to come back like this mm-hmm. is always a good sign. Mm-hmm. Always a good sign.
Well, I mean, as a Ducks fan, I have a lot of reason to be optimistic this year. You know, we haven't been able to get the job done, but if you look at the teams we've lost to the last 2 years, we've only lost to the teams that have gone on to win the national championship. This is the deepest roster the Ducks have ever had coming in. I am very excited as a Duck fan this year, and I will consider it a letdown if we're not playing for a national title. Even if we don't win it, I want to see Dan get us to that stage. That's the next step in the progression. Sure, I'd love to get the W and get the win and finally be a national champion.
Right.
But even to continue that progression that we're seeing with him, even if we just get there, that'll be a big win for us.
I get that. The part I want to ask is, when does it become okay, but what else? When does it become, yes, we always have this, but like, what else?
I think for me this year is hearing all the experts say how we have the best team as well. It's not just Oregon fans sitting there saying it. You're getting big guys like Joe Klatt who are coming out saying this is by far top to bottom the most talented roster in the nation. So I think that probably feeds into this year, especially with all the players that we have coming back, where we're turning our entire defensive line, which was really, really good last year. Dante chose to come back and fight for a national title. So the belief in that room from the players and the way that Dan Lanning gets his players to buy into things, I think also really has me excited and fiending to see what this Hungry Ducks team comes out and looks like.
And I'm only asking this because the track record of them, like you said, just getting there. Mm-hmm. They've done that multiple times, mm-hmm. but not getting over the hump. Let's say that you've got this most complete team. This is the best team in the whole nation until the last like two or three games. How long does Dan Lanning have if that happens again?
He's got a long leash.
Yes, he's got a long leash, but you've also got a school who is in a very competitive conference. Who, yes, the coach's leash is lengthening, but that leash on the team of being like in the conversation every single year, but also needing to win it, like that leash is shortening as his leash is widening.
I wouldn't say so, because I think
in college is becoming an investment.
Even if it
people
takes,
are going to start like
it's, even if it's, it takes 6 or 7 years to get over the hump, as long as we're continuing to be in that fight and be one of the dominant teams, I think Oregon fans would still take that.
But the Oregon like, because and fans because can love that and can take that
because we've found a coach that is actually, first of all, wants to be here, doesn't want to go jump to a bigger job,
right.
Isn't trying to use us as a cornerstone, is trying to make us that power.
Yes.
Every coach that's come in since Chip has tried to use us as a stepping stone. And
yeah.
Even Chip used us to a stepping stone, except he did it at the NFL level.
But college football is evolving to the point of the same. It's going the way of the NFL, where you're bringing in, because you're investing so much money in the school now, and the school mm-hmm. itself is making it has to make money back, and you have to continue to be at this level to continue to make that money. The coaches that stay at a school for their entire career are becoming less and less. And you're actually seeing more examples of schools only giving coaches 2 to 3 seasons before they start looking for a new coach.
Right.
Or at
I just
least
don't
it's
think
out in the media.
I just don't think, if you look at Oregon's landscape and you look at what they've dealt with, that's not what they're trying to do by any means.
Right,
Dan has the longest leash out of any coach right now.
Right, and they've gotten away with that stuff while being in Eugene.
But you can't say
and
they've
now
gotten
they've got
away
a wider,
with it
but,
when he's
but they've
only
got
lost
a wider,
to teams that have won the national championship.
I'm using an example of in the past, and now I'm using an example of what Oregon is now that they are in the Pac-10. Or not the Pac-10, but the Big Ten. The business of it all completely changes. The outlook of all of it completely changes. I think that you are incredibly optimistic, but there's going to be a point where that starts to change.
If I could pick any coach from any sport to have, it would be Dan Lanning. He motivates players like no other. He's only lost to teams that have won the national championship, and he continues to improve and build a program like he's building an SEC program.
He has only lost teams that have won a national championship.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
But he hasn't won a national championship.
Not yet, but that's going to change. This has been Talking Sports in the Coop with Ryan and Rex. We'll see you next time.